Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, Cleveland. This is Alan Keller from the Too Much Effing Perspective podcast, and welcome to Quick Taps, short episodes with short stories for short attention spans. Today, my pretty things, have we got a show for you. Our theme is, well, I'm not even going to try to be clever. It's Bowie. Every Spinal Tap moment in this episode features a real-life encounter with the man who fell to Earth himself, David Robert Jones Bowie. And because of who he is, we're not just going to settle for three stories this QT. We've got four for you. One for Ziggy and each member of the Spiders from Mars, who he unceremoniously fired in the middle of a show without warning. I mean, it wasn't a very nice thing to do, but it's Bowie. He can do what he wants, I guess. Anyway, our first story is a quickie from the Bewley brothers themselves, Steve and Jeff Shapiro, who formed half of Milwaukee's legendary punk outfit, the Ken Dolls. In this Moon Age daydream, Steve tells us about a time he and all of LA were under pressure when suddenly the space oddity appeared out of the blue and made everyone feel like they were about to take a trip on a Gemini spaceship. Or at least use the express lane with more than 10 items.
It was during the riots, and I was living in West Hollywood, and everybody kind of panicked and went to the grocery store and was just filling baskets full of stuff and waiting at these giant lines. And I look, and there's David Bowie and his wife, Iman, standing there with a grocery cart, but they had this glow around him, and it was just like, bah! And nobody was bothering him, and they were just kind of sitting there, you know, and he was probably, you know, well, the pickles, darling. But just like everybody else, so that was kind of cool. And I was just like, wow, there's David Bowie waiting in line. But he had this glow around him. His aura was amazing.
Our next story comes from Modest Mouse and Granddaddy guitarist Jim Fairchild, who recently released an EP on Modern Recordings BMG entitled Everything on Memory, under the banner of his new project Small Isles, ISLES. Jim tells us that when he was a young American, he got to meet his hero only to find out somebody up there liked him.
He was a big Granddaddy fan, and he came to a show at Irving Plaza, and he was a consummate gentleman. And one of the most remarkable things about him was that he knew all of our names. He turned around, he's like, oh, Jim, I'm David, which I thought was just such a classy move. And then the other part was that he had just returned from the VH1 Fashion Awards, and he was dressed really beautifully, and he was kind of apologizing for being dressed in like a formal way. I mean, he looked incredible. But the other part was that he said, I need to get home. I'll see you guys next week when you're back in New York, but I want to make sure that I kiss my daughter goodnight. You know, I'm just like, God damn, that's the way, dude.
Our next story comes from Ramona Jan and Nick West from the 70s New York punk band, The Comatines, whose single Danger Zone is being released on Left 4 Dead Records. Ramona had a run-in with the Diamond Dog one night at the very moment he changed into a scary monster.
We were playing Hurrah. We had just gotten off stage, and I turn around, and there's Bowie right there, and he grabs me by the wrist, and he pulls me toward him, and he says, oh, do you have a record? Are you in a band? And I was completely insulted, can I just say? Because we just got off stage. I mean, yeah, I'm in a band. And he was like, oh, well, you were wonderful. A lie. And then he bent me over, Gone with the Wind style, and French kissed me. I said, I gotta go, and I left. The next morning at Media Sound, I walked in and the receptionist said, I was at Hurrah last night and I went home with David Bowie. And I didn't want to spoil it for her that I rejected him. And recently I got in touch with her and she said, oh no, that's totally true. And she sent me photographs of him in her apartment. He put the phone receiver down his pants. And he thought that was a very funny thing.
And our final story comes from photographer and member of the original Milwaukee New Wave band, The Wigs, Jim Cushionary, who was a lodger on Bowie's own bed, then went on to have a fantastic journey with the Lad Insane. And by the way, I apologize for my obnoxious use of Bowie song titles. I hope you think it's Hunky Dory.
David Bowie started a tour and it landed in New York City. And my friend, his publicist, calls me and says, hey, you want to come out to New York? And, you know, you can stay at my hotel. You can go to the show. I said, hell yeah, I want to do that. So I take a red eye. I arrive at like 10 in the morning and I'm just wiped out with jet lag. And get into her room and she's in the bathroom, whatever. And the phone rings. She goes, hey, can you get that? I go, hello. And this voice goes, who's this? I said, this is Jim. Who's this? And he says, this is David. And I said, oh, excuse me, I'll get Cheryl for you. And I hang up the phone and I go, it's your boss. He's on there. She had to go to work in his office, Main Man. I think it was right on Park Avenue. And I end up crashing on David Bowie's couch for most of the day. And the show was at night in the Meadowlands in Jersey. I got to ride out to the venue in a little shuttle bus with all the band wives and or girlfriends. We go to the show, show goes off great. So then we get in the shuttle back to the hotel. They shut the bar down for everybody except David and us. I just went down sort of toward the corner of the bar, and there's this one guy who nobody's paying any attention to him, and is David Bowie. Apparently, David had a tenuous relationship with beer. Like, he could do heroin or whatever you want, and he'd be fine. One beer, and he's knocked on his ass. And he's doing this, like, New Orleans accent, and he's saying, well, we have believers, and then we have non-believers in the midst. And he points to me, and he goes, I do believe we have a believer among us. And I looked at him and I said, well, sir, I do believe that somebody has been to New Orleans one too many times. And he just laughed. We chatted up. I'm like, I'm talking to David Bowie about the most ridiculous, arcane stuff, not about music or anything. And I'm thinking, who are all these people who are not thrilled to be with David Bowie and have this opportunity and they're squandering it? And maybe it's because they're all related to the tour or something like that. They lose track of, I don't know, whatever special glow he has about him, whatever the universe has bestowed upon him to make him David fucking Bowie. I hope that never happens to me. And then later in the tour, when they came to LA, the Dodger Stadium, I went there too, and I was hanging out backstage. And after the show, this cart comes by, and there's David, and he looks at me, and I get this glow of recognition from him, and he winks at me and gives me a thumbs up, and as he scoots by, and that was the last time I saw David Bowie.
You know, my first run-in with Bowie was on vinyl. My older sister, Ray Ellen, who had great taste, had just purchased Young Americans back in 1975, and I snuck into her room, put on her brand new Koss headphones, and listened to Fame. And if you listen to that song on good headphones, you'll hear there's one beat where they open up the reverb really wide, and it's almost like an LSD experience where you are never the same after you hear the song Fame on headphones. And I've been a big Bowie fan ever since. Thank you, Ray Ellen, wherever you are. And thank you, my Rebel Rebels, for tuning in to today's Quick Tap. Please rate and review the TMBB show on Apple Podcasts. Tune in next week when my co-host Alex Hoffman and myself return for more Spinal Tap moments on Too Much Effing Perspective.
Although it would be as great as having armadillos in our trousers, this podcast is not affiliated with This Is Spinal Tap, and no person or entity connected with the film has sponsored or endorsed its content. This podcast is not affiliated, sponsored, or licensed by Authorized Spinal Tap LLC or Century of Progress Productions. Too Much Effing Perspective is a Milwaukee Talkies original.
Welcome to us talking about our podcast for a minute.
What's the name of that podcast?
That's Axe to Grind. And right now you're going to be getting a little taste of it, right down to the shaking microphone and all.
And my name's Bob.
And my name's Patrick. And usually we're joined by Tom.
Tom's the best. Tom has a real grown-up job that requires him to be at work. But we talk about decidedly not so grown-up things like
hardcore music and things that people that like hardcore music tend to like.
So that could be the latest shows, revisiting classic material, talking about the new classics, all the little dorm room nonsense that you imagine from a niche music podcast that you either love, want to love, or hate.
Yeah, imagine all the emotions that you have towards a genre that has impacted your life. And then condense them down to an hour to 2 hours a week.
So triangulate your speakers. Think about jumping off the bed, singing along, dancing like an idiot, and listen to Axe to Grind Podcast.
Evergreen Podcast Network.